chapter 24 and verses 3 through 8, COVID-19 giving us a preview of the end times. Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 8. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains." Now let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for your word in a time when so many people are wondering, what is COVID-19 and is this the end of the world and what should we be looking for and what should we be doing? And just thank you that your word is clear. I pray you just teach us this morning, Lord, how COVID-19 is pointing us toward the end times and how much we need to be ready for it. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last week, a website called Wired came out with a list of some of the strangest explanations for COVID-19 and how we need to deal with it. And here's just a few of them. Coronavirus is actually 5G mobile internet activity, frying our brains from towers that were built last year. Coronavirus was brought to Earth from outer space by a meteorite that burned up over Asia last October. Infection by coronavirus can be cured by drinking cow urine. So Mary Poppins had it all wrong about what it is that takes the medicine go down. COVID-19 was brought to Earth by space aliens who originally landed in Los Angeles to see LeBron James win an NBA championship for the Lakers and unleash the virus back when former Raptors forward Kawhi Leonard signed with the Clippers instead of the Lakers. And of course, all of those things are wrong. And here's another very strange alternative explanation for COVID-19. That's not true either. And that's, it's the end of the world. Because even though this is the most apocalyptic thing that has ever happened to us, COVID-19 and all the damage that it's causing right now is just all a part of an overall preview of the end of the world that Jesus tells us we need to know about and be ready for. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. Last week, we looked at what God is doing with COVID-19, working all things together for good for those who love it. And this week, we look at another good thing that God is doing with COVID-19, how He is using it to give us a preview for the end times. And to see that, we turn this morning to Matthew chapter 24 and verses 3 through 8. At this point in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus' disciples are asking him about the end times. And Jesus said, don't be deceived by any cockamamie ideas. But in our text today, Jesus gives us some signs to look for to let us know that the end is near. And one of them, pestilence, is where COVID-19 fits in. Because it's just one of the many troubles and one of the many birth pains that is setting the stage for the end of the world. Our text this morning, Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 8, tells us three things that COVID-19 tells us about the end times to let us know that the end is coming. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that COVID-19 tells us about the end times, it shows us the birth pains for the end times. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking to his disciples about in this text. Now, everybody's on top of the Mount of Olives overlooking the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus had already told his disciples beaucoup times that he was coming back again. So verse 3, the disciples ask him two questions. When is it going to happen? And what are some signs that they could be looking for to let them know that it's getting close? And Jesus says, no, the second coming is just conspiracy theory for the tinfoil hat people. No. Because Jesus does give us some signs to look for here in verses 6 and 7. Wars and rumors of wars. Nation against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. Famine and pestilence, King James Version. And earthquakes. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my! And I know there's some skeptics listening to this sermon right now thinking, but Kevin, those kind of things have been happening for 2,000 years. Yeah, just exactly like Jesus predicted here they would. But Jesus also tells us there's something else coming when all those signs are going to be multiplied over and over again. So folks, coronavirus is not the end of the world. And coronavirus is not mentioned anywhere specifically in the Bible. But it is one of the pestilences that Jesus mentions here that is pointing us toward the end of the world. And what does Jesus say these signs are? In verse 8, they are the beginning of birth pains. Birth pains. When a woman is about to have a baby, she goes into labor. And the labor pains start out 10 minutes apart, then 5 minutes apart, 3 minutes, 1 minute, until the baby comes. And they get more and more painful. So the labor pains, the birth pains increase in frequency and intensity. So Jesus is telling us here, we can know when the end is getting close, when all these signs He mentions start increasing in frequency and intensity. And what do you know? That is exactly what we see happening in the world right now. Earlier this year, rumors of war with China and with Iran. Just here in the United States. Last Tuesday, another typhoon, that one in the Philippines. The National Weather Service now tells us there are more tornadoes in the Midwest and the Southeast than in any other time in American history. More days with 30-plus tornadoes than in any other time in American history. And this year, 2020, is on pace to be the record for the deadliest tornado season ever, frequency and intensity. Just last March the 28th, another huge asteroid, that one 2.5 miles across, buzzed within 4 million miles of planet Earth, something that NASA calls a potentially hazardous object, I would say, frequency and intensity. U.S. Geological Survey tells us right now there's a record 55 earthquakes happening every single day all around the world. A 6.9 magnitude earthquake just last Tuesday in the Santa Cruz Islands. A 6.4 magnitude earthquake just last Friday in Reno, Nevada. That rocked everything all the way to Palo Alto, California. Last March the 18th, right when America was starting to lock down and shut down, a 5.7 magnitude earthquake in Salt Lake City, Utah, so powerful it knocked the trumpet out of the angel's hand on top of the Mormon temple there. What is happening with all these signs that Jesus mentions? They are increasing with frequency and with intensity. And especially COVID-19. But notice, verse 6, Jesus says, don't have a cow, because this is not the end yet. These things must happen because they have to happen. And why? Romans chapter 8, verses 20 to 22. Because of sin, God subjected the world to frustration. Sin ruined absolutely everything that God originally created. And that's what's causing all the earthquakes and typhoons and the wars and rumors of wars and coronaviruses like COVID-19. But Romans chapter 8, verse 21, God also subjected the world to frustration in hope that one day it's going to be set free from its bondage to decay and released when God makes a new one. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth. But until that happens, Romans chapter 8, verse 22, all creation groans in expectation, as in the pains of childbirth. There's that phrase again. Creation groaning because creation is about to give birth to a new time period. But until that happens, we just have to put up with the birth pains, like COVID-19. And why is COVID-19 such a big deal? Because now, for the very first time in the history of the world, a virus, because of airplane travel, can go viral all 195 countries all over the world just like that. And that is exactly what COVID-19 did. And only a very few times in world history has God ever done things that shake the entire planet. Noah's flood, the Tower of Babel, the bubonic plague that killed 200 million people in the 1300s, two world wars, the Spanish flu, and now COVID-19. And notice, those four last things happening just within the last 100 years. Frequency and intensity. So God is using this COVID-19 to cry out to the world, pay attention to me. The end is coming. Life is short, hell is hot, and eternity is long. So turn to me and be saved in these last days. And I know there's somebody here in this sermon right now saying, Kevin, COVID-19 doesn't have anything to do with the last day. We're not living in the last days. In case anybody didn't get the memo, we've already been living in the last days. Because the last day started 2,000 years ago already when Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and the angel said, Acts chapter 1 verse 11, this same Jesus you saw go into heaven will come back in like manner. So this is not Y2K. This is not the Mayan calendar or the zombie apocalypse. This is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is telling us here that COVID-19 is just one of the many, many signs to let us know it's getting close. But the sad thing is, the vast majority of pastors and churches and Christians today totally blow off the end times and the second coming of Christ. Too controversial. Not seeker-sensitive enough. It's embarrassing to Christians. Rick Warren says it's just a distraction. Eschatology will not grow your church. But Christians, this is our blessed hope. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, Titus chapter 2, verse 13. And yet Lifeway Resources tells us 98% of pastors and churches never, ever talk about the end times. Not once. Not once. But Christians, the second coming of Jesus Christ is not just some obscure doctrine that we can just ignore, because it's all over the Bible. If people would just read it. Donnelly Andrews is a 60-year-old school librarian from Athens, Georgia. And last September, she took out some travel insurance for a trip that she and her husband were going to make to London. And because she's a teacher, she reads everything. So she read through that entire contract. And what do you know? Hidden in all the legal mumbo-jumbo, she discovered that this company had inserted a contest that said this. If you've read this far, then you are one of the very few customers to review all their policy documentation. And because of that, you are now eligible to win a $10,000 cash prize. And it showed her a special website address that she was supposed to respond to. And because she was the first one to read that far and the first one to respond, she won that $10,000. And now she's going to use it to fund a trip for her and her husband to go to Scotland for their 35th wedding anniversary. Folks, it pays to read the fine print. And good for her. But people, when it comes to what the Bible says about the second coming of Jesus Christ and the end times, we don't have to worry about any fine print. Because the second coming of Jesus Christ is not this obscure statement buried in a bunch of theological mumbo-jumbo in the Bible. One out of every four verses in the New Testament talks about the second coming of Jesus Christ. So it's practically on every page. Jesus predicted it. Paul wrote to the churches about it. Peter warned us to be prepared for it. John got a whole vision of it. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, you shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with great power and glory. So Jesus is coming again, all right, with all the birth pains like COVID-19 leading out in front. And all you have to do to win the best prize of all you need to do is just read it and believe it. The first thing COVID-19 tells us about the end times, it shows us the birth pains for the end times. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing that COVID-19 tells us about the end times. Not only shows us the birth pains of the end times, it also gives us a preview of the Great Tribulation. The time period that the birth pains are going to give birth to. When all the Christians and the Holy Spirit are taken out. And God pours out holy hell on the unbelieving world. Trouble, Jesus said, the likes of which the world has never seen before and will never see again. All described in vivid, high-tech, technicolor, 3D, surround sound detail in the seals, bowls, and trumpets in the book of Revelation. And especially Revelation chapter 6, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. With the rider on the white horse representing war. The rider on the red horse representing death. The black horse, famine. The pale horse, disease and pestilence. All riding roughshod all over the world. So what COVID-19 is doing along with all the collateral damage that it's causing, is giving us just a little preview, just a little hint, a little glimpse, a little taste of what life is going to be like for the people who are left to go through the Great Tribulation. COVID-19 is a preview of the rider on the pale horse who helps kill 1/4 of the earth's population with pestilence and disease. In today's world, that would be 2 billion people. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the bodies stacked up like cordwood then? So contrary to what all the videos on YouTube tell you, COVID-19 is not the pandemic that's mentioned in the book of Revelation, because the body count isn't going to be near high enough. And that pandemic is going to make COVID-19 just look like a case of the sniffles. And with plague and disease and death comes economic meltdown. The rider on the black horse. When food prices skyrocket because food is scarce and people are starving to death. And we're already seeing that economic meltdown here in the United States. 38 million Americans unemployed. Forbes is telling us now 2 out of 3 small businesses in America is in the process of going belly up. The oil industry, the airline industry, the auto industry, all shot full of holes. 3 months ago, the United States had the greatest economy in the history of the whole wide world. And after just the first 4 weeks of shutdown, all the gains, all the progress in the last 3.5 years, totally gone down the drain just like that. And because other nations are tanking, the International Monetary Fund is now predicting a worldwide economic depression starting later this year. Revelation chapter 18, verse 10, Fallen is Babylon the Great. In less than an hour, her doom has come. Remember going years and years thinking that all this stuff in the book of Revelation was so far-fetched, it would never be possible? What COVID-19 is doing is telling us just how possible and how close all this stuff really is. And with economic disaster comes famine. Health department telling us 1 out of 5 children in America already going without enough to eat. And other countries of the world, God help us. With so many the food supply chains being cut, the director of the United Nations Food Program said this, COVID-19 is going to be catastrophic for millions more people all over the world who can only eat if they are earning a wage. And lockdowns and global recession will send them over the cliff. We are facing famines of biblical proportions, the worst humanitarian crisis since World War II, and the worst food shortage in world history, with 300,000 people starving to death every day, month after month after month. And folks, that's just the result of COVID-19. So can you imagine? Can you imagine what kind of hell on earth it's going to be during the Great Tribulation? And all of that, not to mention all the other bad stuff that's happening in the world right now that the media is not telling us about at all. Ebola has now made another comeback, along with the bird flu and H1N1. Something called the African swine flu has already killed 1/4 of all the pigs in the world and half of all the pigs in China. For months now, gargantuan swarms of locusts, some of them the size of major cities, have devoured millions and millions of acres of crops in Africa and Asia and the Middle East. Right now, a bacteria called Xylella fastidiosa, the deadliest plant virus in the entire world with no cure whatsoever, is killing millions of olive trees and millions of fruit trees all over Europe, frequency and intensity. Revelation chapter 8, verses 8 and 9 says, in the tribulation, a meteorite, an asteroid, will crash into planet Earth, poison 1/3 of all the water, and kill 1/3 of all the sea life. So last April the 29th, an asteroid named 1998 OR2, over a mile wide, buzzed by planet Earth a couple of million miles away. And when astronomers took a picture of it, that's what they saw. The hills and the ridges on the edge of that asteroid make it look like it's wearing a mask. I kid you not. People, do you think God's trying to tell us something or what? Wildfires have killed over 1 billion animals in Australia. Swarms of murder hornets have now invaded the United States. And weather so crazy, last Sunday, Mother's Day, was colder than Christmas Day. frequency and intensity, and it's all just previews of coming attractions for what's going to happen during the Great Tribulation. And the worst thing about the tribulation of all, because of all the chaos, people all over the world are going to cry out for a Superman. So enter, stage right, the Antichrist, the master of disaster. And he'll fix all the world's problems. And he'll make sure that everybody gets vaccinated and microchipped. He'll make sure nobody ever runs out of toilet paper again. And he'll conquer 13 countries and set up a one world government and start the last 7 years of world history. And he'll sign a bunch of peace treaties. And he'll make peace with the Middle East and peace with Israel. And he'll build the Jews a new temple in Jerusalem. And for 3.5 years, everything will be peaches. But then he will reveal himself for who he really is, an agent of the devil. And he'll set himself up a statue in the temple in Jerusalem and force everybody in the entire world to worship it. And if they don't, they die. And he'll persecute the Jewish people to make the Holocaust look like a teddy bear picnic. And he will gather up all the nations of the world to try to attack and destroy the nation of Israel once and for all. And folks, we need to remember, the tribulation is not going to happen because God likes a good human barbecue. The whole purpose of the tribulation, God is trying to get people's attention so that they will get saved. And Revelation chapter 14, verse 7, God is going to make sure the gospel is still going out during the great tribulation so people can get saved by repenting of their sins and turning to Jesus Christ as their Savior. But the sad thing is, way too many people during the tribulation are still going to flip God off. Revelation chapter 16, people gnawed their tongues in agony because of the pain that they were in, but they still cursed the God of heaven and refused to repent of the evil things that they had done. My goodness, people. And the question is, how many people are repenting and turning to Jesus right now during the COVID-19 crisis? And I know there's some people listening to the sermon right now. You're thinking exactly those words from that old R.E.M. song. Kevin, it may be the end of the world as we know it, but I'm feeling fine. What's the big hairy deal about Jesus anyway? All kinds of people made all kinds of predictions about bad things in the so-called end times. Like Nostradamus. Nostradamus was this famous 16th century French mystic who wrote all these weird apocalyptic things about disasters and the future of the world in cryptic four-line poems called quatrains. And now every time something bad happens in the world, everybody and his brother goes back and starts slicing and dicing through Nostradamus' so-called prophecies to try to make it look like he predicted it 500 years ago. And there's three major prophecies that people claim Nostradamus got right. Three. In 1566, in Quatrain 52, Nostradamus wrote this: "The blood of the just will commit fault at London, burnt through lightning of 23's the six. The ancient lady will fall from her high place. Several from the same sect will be killed, clear as mud." And people claim that's Nostradamus predicting the great fire of London in 1666. Honestly, folks, that is so vague it could have predicted the Chicago Bears losing to the Los Angeles Raiders in London last October, 23-6, and that's not even the right score. Or maybe it's predicting old Queen Elizabeth and some members of the British royal family getting struck by lightning someday. Could mean anything. In Quatrain 2, 27, Nostradamus wrote this: "The great man will be struck down in the sky by a thunderbolt, the evil deed predicted by the bearer of a petition. According to the prediction, another falls at night. Conflict in Reims, London, and pestilence in Tuscany." And people are claiming that's Nostradamus predicting the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, November 22nd, 1963. Are you kidding me? Tuscany is in Italy. And I don't know, Anthony Rizzo came from a family that originally came from Italy, so maybe it's predicting Anthony Rizzo and the Chicago Cubs losing the National League Championship Series in 2017. Who knows? And now everybody's having the flop sweats over something that Nostradamus wrote in Quatrain 6, because they claim it predicts the coronavirus. "There will be a twin year from which will arrive a queen who will come from the east and who will spread a plague on a country with seven hills. and will transform the twilight of men into dust to destroy and ruin the world. And it will be the end of the world economy as you know it. Only Nostradamus never wrote that. Some internet hack wrote that and posted it online 2 months ago to try to make everybody just think that Nostradamus wrote it. So you talk about fake news. Here's what Nostradamus actually wrote in Quatrain 6. Near the gates and within the two cities, there will be two scourges, the like of which was never seen. Famine within plague, people put out by steel, crying to the great immortal God for relief. But so what? Folks crying out to God for plague and for famine, that could apply to any plague and any famine in the history of the whole wide world. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. Folks, there is only one person who really knows the future and who wrote it down so we could read it and actually know what's going to happen so we could be prepared for it, and that's the Lord. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, during the tribulation, there will be trouble, the likes of which the world has never seen before and will never see again, and then the end will come. Clear as a bell, because Jesus knows what He's talking about, He wants us to understand it, and He has never been wrong about anything else before. The second thing COVID-19 tells us about the end times, it gives us a preview of the Great Tribulation. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing that COVID-19 tells us about the end times. It not only shows us the birth pains of the end times, it not only gives us a preview of the Great Tribulation, but third, COVID-19 reminds us that Jesus Christ is coming again. Because that is the real end of the world. Not when the fat lady sings, not when the Minnesota Vikings finally win a Super Bowl. When Jesus Christ comes again, that's the real end. But before He does, and right before the start of the tribulation, Jesus is going to come partway and rapture us Christians and take us all out of Dodge before the trouble really starts. Because 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, we Christians have not been appointed to suffer the wrath of God like is going to be poured out during the tribulation. So Jesus will come down as far as the clouds and harpazo, rapture, snatch us up and take us to heaven. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the cry of command and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Christians, let's get this party started. The rapture is the very next thing to happen in Bible prophecy. And if people are freaked out now about COVID-19, what's going to happen when all of a sudden 2 billion Christians start flying out of this world like bottle rockets on the 4th of July? So the rapture, the tribulation, during the tribulation, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2, the Antichrist gathers all the nations of the world to destroy the Jewish people once and for all. And right when it looks like everything is lost, Jesus comes. Jesus comes down to this earth, sets His feet on the Mount of Olives, busts in Jerusalem like John Wayne and cleans house, takes the devil and the Antichrist and throws them into hell, and sets up a millennial kingdom, ruling out of Jerusalem over the whole world for 1,000 years. Then the devil and the Antichrist are set loose. They gather up all of God's enemies for one final attack against God's people. Fire comes out of heaven and wipes them off the face of the earth. Then everybody stands before God in great white throne judgment. Everybody is assigned to either heaven or hell based on the decision they make for Jesus. And then Jesus rules as grand poobah over a new heaven and a new earth forever and ever and ever. People, Jesus Christ is coming again. Yeah, I know, Kevin, you're telling me I have to be ready. No. Because Jesus could come just like that in the rapture any moment, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. And because there's no time to get ready then, you've got to be ready now, before it happens. And of course, the number one question about Jesus coming again is when. And to know that, you've got to turn to Israel. Because regardless of what anybody wants to tell you, what happens to Israel is God's timetable for the last days. And it's all based on the Jewish festival called Jubilee. In Hebrew, shuv, meaning return. Every 50 years, when everything that's lost gets returned to the people who lost it. And ever since the Jewish people lost their homeland of Israel and lost their capital city of Jerusalem, God has done the most incredible, mind-blowing things in Jubilee years to restore them and return them. And it all started when the Romans invaded Israel and destroyed Jerusalem in the 70 AD. But see, that invasion really started in the north of Israel, in Galilee, in 67 AD. And 67 AD was what? It was a Jubilee year. And after that, the Jews were scattered all over the world. And the land of Israel was as desolate as the dark side of the moon for almost 2,000 years. But see, there's this prophecy in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 22, that said when that happened, one day a stranger from a faraway place would go to Israel and see how dead Israel really was. And then that stranger would go back home and tell the world that Israel was a wasteland. And then in 1867, Jubilee year, because 67 was a Jubilee year, that means every 50 years, every Jubilee year either ends in 17 or 67. 1867, Jubilee year, that stranger from a faraway place was American author Mark Twain, who went to Israel and saw what a ruin it was. Went back home, wrote all kinds of articles here in the United States, told the world that Israel was a wasteland, just exactly like the prophecy said. Then 1867, same year, Jubilee year, same year, later on that same year, a Congress of Messianic Jews, Jewish Christians, met in London, England. And their goal was to return the Christian faith. Shuv, return the Christian faith to the land where it started, to the land of Israel. And they did. They took it back there. That was the start of the Jewish people returning to the Messiah. The next Jubilee year, 1867 plus 50 years, is 1917. 1917, Jubilee year, British General Edmund Allenby took the land of Israel away from the Ottoman Empire, who had controlled it for so long. Later that same year, 1917, Jubilee year, the Balfour Declaration that gave the land of Israel to the Jewish people as a national homeland. Then in 1948, Israel became a nation. But even though the Jewish people had their land returned to them, their capital city, Jerusalem, was still controlled by Muslims. So next Jubilee year, 1917 plus 50 years, 1967, the Six-Day War, when the Jewish people fought off a whole gang of Muslim nations that got together to try to destroy Israel. And for the first time in 1900 years, the Jews got control back of their capital city. But then after that, year after year after year, because of all the pro-Palestinian sentiment, no legal government authority anywhere in the world would acknowledge that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. No country, no world leader anywhere. Until December 6, 2017, when U.S. President Donald Trump signed his famous Jerusalem Declaration declaring that Jerusalem, yes indeed, was the capital of Israel. And 2017 was what? It was a Jubilee year. So the Jewish people have had their land returned to them. The people have had their capital city returned to them. The people have started to return to their Messiah. So the only thing left, the only thing left that has to happen, the Messiah has to return to His people. And I know somebody's thinking, Kevin, 2017 plus 50 years, you're saying the year 2067 is when you... No. Because nobody knows the day or the hour. And folks, Jesus could come in the rapture just like this, in the twinkling of an eye. And Jesus never texted us, BRBLOL. And the last thing, very last thing Jesus said in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, behold, I come quickly. And Luke chapter 21, verse 23, Jesus says, when you see all these things happening, not just some of the signs, all of them together, happening at the same time in frequency and intensity, the earthquakes and the famines and the pestilence and the COVID-19 and everything going on with Israel, when you see all these things happening together at the same time, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. And people, don't tell me that's not now. Don't tell me that the Antichrist isn't practicing his acceptance speech right now. Don't tell me that war and death and famine and pestilence are wearing out horses trying to get here. People, Jesus Christ is coming again. And in case anybody needs to be reminded, that's not bad news. That's good news. Because if you are afraid of the end times, then you don't understand them. Or somebody taught you wrong. Because it's actually the most comforting thing in the whole wide world. Because it proves that all this bad stuff that's happening all around us right now is exactly what Jesus said was going to happen. Everybody just calm down. God has a plan. Everything is happening according to schedule. Everything is falling into place. God's got this. Because just like He said, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 27 and 28, right now, everything that can be shaken is being shaken. And holy shake, rattle, and roll, people, there is a whole lot of shaking going on right now. But everything is being shaken now so that we can have a kingdom that will never be shaken then. On the other side, what gets you through the birth pains is knowing that what's coming in the end makes it more than worth it all. I was born the youngest of three boys, February 15th, 1963, Iroquois Memorial Hospital in Watseka. And even though I was there, I don't remember very much. My mom said that my dad was talking to a seed corn dealer about 1 p.m. that afternoon when her water broke. So my dad took her to the hospital and then went to the coffee shop. Because that was back in the day when dads did not do delivery rooms because giving birth to babies was woman's work. And because this wasn't my mom's first rodeo, she kind of knew what to expect. Kind of. So the nurses called the doctor, then they told my mom they were going to start her pushing early, even before the doctor got there, to try to hurry it along, which was fine with me. So the labor only lasted about 90 minutes, because why waste time? And because I was born on a Thursday afternoon and Sunday was coming, I probably had a sermon to work on and a lot of things to do. But what my mom was not expecting was how big I was. 10 pounds, 11 ounces. With more black hair than Elvis. My mom said I was so big when she took me home from the hospital 4 days later, I was the size of a 6-month-old baby. Folks, I was born with a 14-inch circumference head and shoulders. Like giving birth to a bowling ball. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. And when I asked my mom to this day if I was worth the pain, she says, I don't know, I guess so. But I do know this, after having me, my mom decided three kids was enough because she was never, ever, ever going to go through anything like that ever again. No way, no how. I had a doctor tell me if it was the men who had to have the babies, every couple would only have one. And Johns Hopkins University says that having a baby is the most traumatic thing that most women will ever deal with, and the second most painful thing that a human being can experience, only next to being burned alive. And the pregnancy ain't no picnic either. Backaches, nausea, morning sickness, cramps, crazy hormones, sleepless nights. There's nothing easier, convenient about the labor pains because unless you induce labor, they can come anytime and never when you want to. It's painful, messy, and exhausting. I have had mothers tell me delivering a baby is the closest thing they have ever come to dying outside of dying. But how many moms listen to this sermon right now? The nanosecond that baby is out, and when the nurses wash them off and put them in your arms and you see them for the very first time face to face, you forget all about the pain and all about the suffering you had to go through to get them there because you fall in love all over again. Jesus said, John chapter 16, verses 21 and 22, when a mother is giving birth, she is in anguish because her time has come. But after the baby is born, she forgets all about the anguish because the baby is born. And Christians, we got to realize exactly the same thing is true when it comes to us dealing with the birth pains of the end times. They can come any time of the day or night. They can interrupt your life. They can cause you all kinds of aches and pains and sleepless nights. There's nothing easier, convenient about the birth pains of the last days. They can be painful, messy, and exhausting. But folks, when Jesus Christ comes again and splits the clouds and takes us up. And for the very first time, we can see Him face to face. We're going to forget about all the pain and all the suffering that we had to go through to get Him there, because we are going to fall in love all over again. Standing before Him at last, trials and troubles all past, crowns at His feet we will cast. Jesus is coming again. And Jesus said, John chapter 16, verse 23, Now is your time of grief. But I will come back and you will see me again and your grief will turn to joy, and nobody will ever, 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 ever be able to take that joy away. Christians, listen to me. It will be worth it all. It will be more than worth it all when we see Jesus. Maranatha, even so, come, Lord Jesus. You pull out of the parking lot here at church and then take 52 to the intersection of 52 and 71. And then turn south on 71, off the right-hand side of the road, very quickly, you're going to see that sign. It says Ottawa, 14 miles. And that sign tells you where you are right then. You're not in Ottawa yet. But you're getting close, because it's not that far away. And folks, we got to realize the COVID-19 crisis is exactly the same thing, because the COVID-19 crisis is a sign for the end times. And that sign tells us where we are at right now. We're not at the end yet. But it is coming. And it's not that far away. And how many people listening to this sermon right now have seen that sign on Highway 71 so many times we don't even pay attention to it? And even worse than that, how many of us have seen signs of the end of times all around us, because there are so many around us? We've seen those signs so many times, we don't even pay attention to them and what they mean for us and what God wants to use them for to tell us and how we need to get ready. A sign tells you where you are at right now. The most important question, where are you at right now with Jesus Christ? Because listen to me, there's tough times coming. The Bible says things are going to get worse before they get better. And you are precious to God. And your life and your soul is precious to God. And He loves you so much. 2,000 years ago, He put His only Son on a cross to die in your place, to pay the price for your sin, and then rise from the dead to give you eternal life and forgiveness of sins. But Jesus is coming. And life is short. Which means if you don't know Jesus, you need to. Before He parts the clouds and comes again, because it's going to be too late then. And you're going to be lost forever, even though He loves you. Even though He doesn't want you to be lost, you will be lost forever, because it will be too late. So you need to trust Jesus Christ right now and confess your sins to Him. Put your faith in the blood He shed on the cross to take your sins away. Invite Him into your heart to be your Savior. You need to do that before this whole end happens. So why not do it today? Why not right now? Would you bow your heads, please? Lord, I just thank You that You have laid this out in Your Word. And Lord, I know there are many, many Christians who agree about the order and what happens first and who goes up next and who's down there then. But Lord, we just thank You that You have a plan. You are coming back again someday, and we know. We know because You've told us. We have to trust You as our Savior before You come. The time of decision is now. Today is the day of salvation. And I know that there are many, many believers in this church right now. Many, many believers watching this live stream who do know You as their Savior. They have that confidence, that assurance of eternal life, but there are many who don't. And I just ask right now, Lord, that You would speak to their heart, that they would be ready. That right now, Lord, they would confess their sins and pray this prayer. Lord, I know today and I acknowledge today that You are God, that You are the Savior. And I realize today, Lord, that You did die on a cross 2,000 years ago for my sin, to take my sin away. And right now, I put my faith in You. I put my faith in the blood You shed on that cross. I trust You as my Savior, and I invite You to come into my heart and into my life and save me and start living Your life through me. And Lord, I just thank You that You give me that assurance of eternal life. Now that I'm trusting You and walking with You, I am saved and I am ready for whatever happens. I just pray, Lord, that many people have prayed that prayer. And I pray, Lord, that You would just give us confidence in these last days like never before. And we'd be working even harder than ever to bring more and more people into Your kingdom before it is time for kingdom come. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.